Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Dear AFA. Today is Friday, August 20th, and this is Denver AFA Council 9 volunteer Alan Ward reporting. AFA has been receiving reports from members who are concerned their private information has been compromised. Reports indicate the United Systems seniority list with names, file numbers, seniority dates, and domiciles has been posted on Facebook and is being passed around in email. AFA does not condone this reckless distribution of flight attendant information. This is a security concern as well as a privacy concern for every member. Facebook has made it clear that anything posted on its system becomes the property of Facebook. Posting of any information on the Internet or through other electronic communications, no matter how secure, is subject to interception by parties with ill intent. There is a reason AFA has a detailed process for merging seniority lists. Not only does the process ensure authorized and duly elected union representatives follow strict rules to ensure your seniority rights are protected, it also guards against the abuse of individuals' private information. AFA takes very seriously our responsibility to protect members' information, and each AFA member should approach this information with the same respect for one another. United Management is charging ahead with violating your contract by implementing an offensive arbitrary application process for charter assignments. Let's face it, this is just another way to handpick flight attendants for the assignments. It doesn't comply with our contract, and it doesn't comply with the arbitrator's direction to comply with our contract. It is a violation of seniority and circumvents the opportunity for all flight attendants to bid for the charter assignments. Remember, according to management, these are the new made-up minimum requirements for application to San Francisco 49er charter assignments. 5 commendations in the last 2 years, 3 or fewer points in the attendance system, no customer or company complaints in the last year, no active discipline for performance issues. Not only is this a violation of our contract, it is another attempt by management to pit one flight attendant against another. How convenient in the middle of contract negotiations. Let's be clear who is at fault here. AFA is holding management accountable for this violation of our contract, and we'd like to hear from you on this issue. It is flight attendant reporting that provided us with the documentation necessary to win the charter agreements, and now we'd like to hear from you about management's efforts to thumb their noses at you. Express your outrage at violation@unitedafa.org. Last Friday, we reported on the change to flight attendant boarding time for domestic narrowbody aircraft from 35 to 40 minutes. We also made it clear this would not change passenger boarding times at 30 minutes prior to departure. This change to flight attendant boarding time is an attempted fix by Onboard to address the problems you have detailed in OSAP reports in relation to reduced staffing and greater responsibilities for each crew member. The increased time on the aircraft does not fix the problems created by minimum staffing, nor does it recognize the potential problems created by decreasing the time between flight attendant check-in and boarding times. We have received some reports on these issues, and we are addressing the problems identified. Please continue to file reports that detail an issue stemming from the change to flight attendant boarding times and in relation to the increased responsibilities for each crew member at minimum staffing. Your recent safety reports helped identify an area of confusion related to exit row briefing requirements. A hot board was posted on Monday to help clarify the procedures that are intended to support completion of exit row briefings by 5 minutes prior to departure. In order to complete these procedures 5 minutes prior to departure, the process should begin by the assigned flight attendant 10 minutes prior to departure. This flight attendant must complete the visual assessment and verbal confirmation of every flight attendant seated in the exit row. In the event additional exit row passengers board the aircraft prior to departure, they must be briefed by the flight attendant, and this includes jump seaters, deadheading crew members, or OMCs. The flight attendant in the purser position must be notified of the completion of exit row verification prior to closing the aircraft door. Details of the procedures may be found on FAOM page 2.70.5. Flight attendant OSAP reports have led to changes in procedures for landing with the intention of getting flight attendants into our jump seats sooner. United has changed procedures for both pilots and flight attendants to support this effort. Pre-landing activities previously accomplished after the captain's prepare for landing announcement will now be done after the double chimes. Moving these activities to an earlier point in the flight means that following the captain's announcement, our sole responsibility is to take the jump seat and securely fasten the seatbelt and shoulder harness. These new procedures take effect immediately, and will be published in the FAOM October revision. After the double chime indicating initial descent and start of sterile cockpit, we make announcements regarding the use of electronic devices and preparation for arrival, followed by pre-landing safety checks and inspections. Finish preparing the cabin for landing, including securing galleys, inspecting and locking lavatories where applicable, and adjusting cabin lighting. Notify the cockpit as soon as possible if cabin preparation cannot be completed. When the cockpit announces flight attendants prepare for landing, take your assigned jump seat with seatbelt and shoulder harnesses securely fastened. We should all take heed of these new procedures to support taking care of ourselves so that we can take care of others, crew, and passengers alike in the performance of our safety duties. Airline industry executives are not the only suits to try to squeeze more out of workers, but some are more brazen than others. In upstate New York, over 300 workers who make Mott's apple juice and applesauce have been on strike all summer. Members of the Retail Wholesale Department Store Union, the RWDSU, have had their pay cut by $1.50 per hour, their pensions frozen, and other concessions imposed by Mott's, a subsidiary of the giant Dr. Pepper Snapple Group. Sounds like another corporate bankruptcy where a company struggling to survive forces workers to endure massive cuts. But no. Dr. Pepper Snapple Group is running huge profits, $550 million last year alone. The gluttons in the executive suite just want to keep more of the profits for themselves and the shareholders. Dr. Pepper Snapple is different, said Stuart Applebaum, RWDSU president. They don't even show the respect to lie to us. They just came in and said, we have no financial need for this, but we just want it anyway because we figure we can get away with it. Management readily admits that the concessions were not imposed out of economic need. They slashed pay, froze pensions, and made other cuts because they decided that Mott's workers were making a little more than other workers in upstate New York. And of course, corporate executives have a genetic need to be the only ones making a little more than the next guy, so it just won't do to have Mott's workers hang on to a middle-class lifestyle. Next time you reach for a Mott's apple juice, remember those workers on the picket line in upstate New York. Do you really want that apple juice produced by scabs? That's all for this evening. Thank you for calling and remain informed as we stand strong together to do whatever it takes to achieve an industry-leading contract.